The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by ZipRecruiter. Forgetting to start the hottest quarterback in the league, Josh Allen? Not smart. Using ZipRecruiter to find qualified candidates fast? That's smart. ZipRecruiter identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, then actively invites them to apply. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. It's Friday!
Friday!
Wait, hold on. There was a time not long ago that I actually used the word Friday, and Matthew, in front of a group of people, Matthew was there, we were in the makeup room, and I said Friday.
Just think about what Matthew. You just said. You two were in the makeup room.
We were.
What's wrong with that?
Like real men that we are. I want to be clear on this. For me, it's the makeup and hair room.
Okay.
I need a lot of work in kind of all aspects
it's
of my...
It's really sweet that the hair ladies pay attention to you.
Pay attention to me.
They have a singular
work.
Focus on a single God, your hair. Right.
You have no idea.
They're like, we're fixing your hair.
Right. They're trying to make something out of nothing. You heard the phrase, make a mountain out of a molehill? That's basically what the hair people here at ESPN do every single week.
Close enough. So anyways, yeah. I'm sitting there and I made a comment that included the word Friday. And Matthew was like, wow, Friday?
Yeah.
That's not a real word. You just saw that on some Instagram story, Friday. Right. No one says Friday. Does anybody say Friday? And meanwhile, every person in makeup was like,
No. No. There was some
basically
debate.
Everybody
there
said.
Was some debate as to whether.
Okay, but the point is this, Matthew. 30 seconds ago, you just said Friday and passed it off as if it was no big deal.
This is correct.
So you've adopted it into your vernacular now?
No, I think the difference is that, so here we are, we're doing a broadcast. You know, we're doing a.
Is that what this is?
It's a couple
it's a broadcast.
We're live on Twitter. We're doing a podcast. We're doing a broadcast. We're live on Twitter.
Eating popcorn.
Eating popcorn, doing the whole thing. And so, it's one thing. So as part of the broadcast, as part of sort of the, you know, kind of thing, for Stefania, who I like, to say, hey, it's Friday, and I support her in that. It's another thing for you in just everyday normal conversation to say Friday. It was just it was a moment where, it just felt like, Field, could you be more Instagrammy? It just like, it was just,
I would
you were
think
very.
Millennials, but you're going for.
Well, no, you're just, it was, I was just like, that's not a real, who says Friday in everyday normal conversation? Not as kind of as like a, cause Stefania was just like being big and over the top with it. But you were saying it like just sort of like, oh, hey, Stefania. It was just like, it was a little like, hey, Stefania, happy Friday. And you're like, wait.
You're equating that to like saying LOL.
Right.
Something like that.
That's right. You just wouldn't say, there's things that you put online or on social media or that in a text. Like, you wouldn't say, like, you're like, hey, Matthew, can you do that for me? No, sorry, BRB. Like, you don't say...
SMH.
Matthew has lost so much credence in this conversation.
You don't say it in real life.
You sell sweatshirts that say PPR monster. Like, that's your livelihood. Fake football. You can't tell me about doing things that are normal versus not normal.
What is inconsistent about that? There are things that you would put on t-shirts. There are things that are red. There are things that I text BRB. I text SMH. I'll tweet that. But I don't say them in everyday normal conversation.
Daniel, break the tie here. Break the tie again. Who's right?
TLDR, I don't really care about this.
Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the Instant Replay.
By the way, that should be the name of this podcast. Can we?
TLDR.
Yeah. Too long, don't listen.
So, by the way, great show coming up. We have Stefania's father here today, which is always a real honor to have Papa Bell hanging out.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, my
most
dad's
loyal.
In the house. Out here. Oh, he is the most loyal. Do you know, he has the songs and he listens to them. Like, he loves Kit and Chip, the music they've made. He's got all the guys at the Senior Center listening to the podcast.
Good man, dedicated fan of the podcast, the TV show, man who has proudly and bravely served our country.
Yes,
we always love having him around.
He's wearing his Korean War veteran hat right now. We see him on the TV.
Let's go
Dad,
ahead and
you're a
get,
star.
There you go. Good man right there. Let's go ahead and preview our game starting on Saturday. We have the Redskins traveling to Tennessee, the first of two games on Saturday. For the
two
Redskins.
Playoff bound teams.
Potentially. You never know. Jordan Reed, actually, I think it's impossible for both of them to go to the playoffs.
But both are in the hunt.
Jordan Reed out for this game. Vernon Davis, Stefania, seems iffy at best to play. Those are the two injuries of note in Washington. We don't expect
Vernon
to see
Davis
Vernon Davis
with a concussion and still not practicing as of Thursday, which you don't like to see. I mean, if you haven't done anything in the week at all after a head injury, there's rarely a chance.
Respectfully, you don't really want to play any Redskins this weekend. But if you were...
I was just going to say, I ranked Jeremy Sprinkle as a tight end, too. Like, you think about no Jordan Reed, you think about no Vernon Davis. He scored the touchdown last week. So Jeremy Sprinkle could play, like, almost every snap in this game. And so I'm just saying, like, when you sit there and you look at, like, what a decimated tight end wasteland it is out there, how brutal it is. And, look, you know, the last week, of course, Evan Engram 8-for-75 against these same Titans. Like, could there be enough volume given, you know, Josh Johnson, who, you know, still learning his teammates, whatever.
Like,
I mean, you know,
names.
Listen, scored a touchdown last week, is going to play every snap. I do think he's a viable tight end two streamer if you are, like, you're sitting around and you're desperate and you're just kind of looking around. If you are using Vernon Davis or Jordan Reed,
I think
or something
it's unlikely
like that.
That the circumstances would lead you to Jeremy Sprinkle, but Matthew feels like testing fate on Sunday. And Adrian Peterson is probably the Redskin that people are more focused on.
Right, I'm sure, but I'm just, you know, listen, you'd have to be pretty desperate, but when it comes to the tight end position, people are pretty desperate. Also, for those of you playing DFS this weekend, I do think, like, you're looking for a dirt cheap tight end in the position. If you're looking for a punt, I think Jeremy Sprinkle is that.
Peterson, if you're looking to play Adrian Peterson, you're hoping he can be something like what Derrick Henry has been over the past 2 weeks, which has been a touchdown scoring fiend. The problem with Adrian Peterson is this. Over his past four games, remember that 90-yard rush for a touchdown? It was 15 points. Over his past four games, that run alone has accounted for 44% of his fantasy points. It's been a long few weeks for Adrian Peterson. The reality is, with the quarterback situation being what it is, no one is feared in this Washington passing game. None of us are. Savanya has Adrian just inside our top 30, but otherwise, like, but that's a 29. Like, it's, you're doing it if you're desperate.
Barely.
What it comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're what you're banking on with Peterson, and we all have him outside our top 30. I'm sorry, Stefania has him at 29, but we all have him outside of our top 25. So he's an RB3. He's a low end flex. He's a touchdown dependent flex. The offensive line is brutal. The Titans are favored significantly in this game. And so you're hoping he falls in the end zone. You're hoping he has one of those big plays here. You're hoping Josh Johnson does enough to keep them close. I think it's unlikely here. And, I would probably be looking elsewhere. Titans are over 10-point favorites.
We called some caution on Derrick Henry last week, saying there's no way he goes for four touchdowns again. He did not, but he went for two, and he went for 170 yards. At this point, who are we?
We did have him as a flex play. I mean, I
know. I'm just saying, but like, we threw some caution, saying like, there's no way he's going to repeat what he did last week, and he was the best running back in fantasy, not anything less than that. We now all have inside of our top 20. Obviously, Derrick Henry has been red hot of late, and what we saw that was most important was that Derrick Henry played the majority of the snaps. So Henry is in our side of our top 20.
I have inside my top 10.
If Derrick Henry, though, goes for, you know, 8.8 fantasy points on Sunday, wouldn't stun me.
No, nothing would stun me here. I just think that, you know, the Redskins over the last 4 weeks are the worst run defense in the NFL. No one is giving up more rushing yards per game than the Redskins over the last month. In fact, since week 9, they allow 153 rushing yards per game, 5.2 yards per carry. They've been destroyed on the ground. And so, again, Titans are a double-digit favorite at home against a bad run defense, and Derrick Henry's been nothing short of ridiculous. I have him as my RB9 this week.
Yeah, I think besides that, though, for the Titans, if you're playing them, you're just sort of hoping. That's it, what it comes down to. For the Titans and the Redskins. The Titans, you said, are 10.5-point favorites. I think the Redskins cover in this one. That's a big number for a Tennessee team that's been inconsistent. How about you, Daniel?
I have the Titans. Derrick Henry is going to just score nonstop.
Okay.
And who's starting a quarterback for the Redskins again?
Josh Johnson.
By the way.
Hold on. Let's turn your microphone on. First time on the podcast, I know.
Josh Johnson. I'm eating this popcorn.
No, I understand. That's why it was good. Yeah.
So good.
It's so good. So Luna brought this popcorn.
Some of us tried to eat before the show because we're professional, though, so we wouldn't be chewing.
This is why I decided to take a dig at the Redskins while you had food in your mouth, because I knew that you weren't going to be able to respond. So it worked.
Stephon, what are you having this game?
There you go. That's me eating my popcorn.
I'm going to take the Titans. Why not?
Hail to the Redskins. Hail victory.
There we go. Moving
along. Josh Johnson, by the way, is the fourth best quarterback in fantasy last 2 weeks. Hasn't even played all eight quarters.
Ravens at Chargers. This game is also on Saturday night. A lot of injury notes here, specifically in L.A. But let's go to the Ravens first. No one really of note there. But, Matthew, if you're playing Gus Edwards, you're hoping that he can repeat what he did last week, which was enough volume and finding the end zone. But, again, still nothing going in the passing game whatsoever for Gus Edwards. So it really comes down to how confident do you feel this running game will find the end zone against an excellent Chargers defense?
It's a couple things. It's how confident do you feel that he finds the end zone? And the other thing is, how confident are you that the Ravens under Lamar Jackson go into Los Angeles and keep this close enough? I mean, remember, the Chargers are 4.5-point favorites here. Look, I think the expectation here is both teams are going to slow it down. Chargers, one of the slowest pace of play teams in the NFL. Obviously, so are the Ravens under Lamar Jackson. They've had more rush attempts than completions in three straight games. And to that point, what you're banking on with Edwards is volume, right? Since Lamar Jackson took over week 11, only Ezekiel Elliott field has more carries than Gus Edwards. He's averaging 5 yards per carry so far. But to your point, the Chargers are really good. They're the fourth best run defense in the NFL over the last 4 weeks, and there is easily a chance that the Chargers are up big in this game, right? You know, if Rivers plays well and they get Keenan Allen back and Melvin Gordon back, we'll talk about that with Stefania in a second. So I think I have Edwards at 27. The lack of passing game involvement, the fact that they could get down in this game, the fact there's some other questionable guys that have better matchups here, he's a touchdown dependent flex. You're banking on volume, and he's falling into the end zone in PPR leagues.
As for the Ravens also, Lamar Jackson, like, it is a player that has been red hot, relatively speaking, in terms of quarterback ads. He's been a top 12 play since taking over as the starter, but none of us have him ranked as a top 12 play this week. Matthew, again, it's the same thing you just said. A lot of the logic you just applied to Gus Edwards also applies to Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think he's a low-end QB2, yet to throw for 180 yards in an NFL game. Like, you know, there's been a floor there. He's between 16 and 20 fantasy points in every, you know, in all five starts, which is impressive. But you have to figure, again, the Chargers, who have been so good against the run, and that line is so good, field, that you have to figure they get some pressure. This is by far the toughest team that Lamar Jackson will have faced in this five game run here.
Defensively, that's for sure.
You in theory, like on paper. I mean, you know.
Well, I'll say, like, they played the Chiefs, who are on par with the Chargers, not defensively, though. Right.
Correct. Yep. This is the best defense, I think, is probably a better way to phrase it than you are correct there. The best defense that Lamar Jackson will have faced here. Mm-hmm. So, given the fact that he's been inconsistent as a passer, there's a chance that the Chargers are up big, which relies him to start throwing more. You don't feel great about.
Not yet.
You know, the majority of his fantasy value so far this year has come via his leg. So he's merely a QB2 for me in this one as well. Quickly, just want to mention Kenneth Dixon as well. Again, if you think they fall behind, depends on how you feel this game plays out, whether you think Baltimore keeps it close or not. But if they fall behind, then you could see Kenneth Dixon get a lot more work in the passing game. I thought this was interesting. Gus Edwards has played 221 NFL snaps this year. He's got one reception.
Right, he doesn't catch the ball at all. Non-factor in the passing
game. So Stefania, if they're down, it would be the Kenneth Dixon show probably more so than Ty Montgomery.
Stefania for the Chargers, all sorts of injuries. Some good news on Melvin Gordon, and what's the latest on Austin Ekeler and Keenan Allen?
Austin Ekeler, doubtful. Essentially,
not going
you already
to play.
Know he's not going to play. Still dealing with the concussion protocol and still dealing with weakness in his shoulder from that stinger-type injury that he had. Melvin Gordon, full practice Tuesday through Thursday, are listed as a full participant. They've been going light in practice, as teams will do. And we've been saying this all along. He came so close to playing last Thursday that I think there's just been nothing but continued improvement. And part of the reason they wanted to wait was to get his football conditioning up. So if I'm a fantasy player who has him going into this game, I feel far better about this week than I even did last week, because he's had that extra time to build up some conditioning.
He's actually off the injury report entirely.
Completely.
So there's no, like, hey, going to have to announce whether he'll play or not. He is playing on Sunday. Keenan Allen is a little more of a in between, I'd say.
Yeah, it's a little more. I mean, I think there was some optimism, like he has a shot to play, but they're really taking it down to the wire. He's going to be a game time decision, comes in officially as questionable. This is the hip pointer. You saw when he went up for the catch in the end zone, landed hard on the right hip, kind of grabbed at the top of the pelvis where the bruising is. And although he's made progress, he's still not 100%, nor would you expect him to be. Now, I think Keenan Allen is going to do everything he can to try and go. My worry, and I've expressed it before, is you go down on that same hip, doesn't have to be as hard the second time to cause a lot of problems, enough to make him leave the game early. So that's sort of what you're having to contemplate if you're thinking about starting him.
So you're playing Melvin Gordon based off what Stefania said. With Keenan Allen, it comes down to this, Matthew, is like, you have no mulligan. If he comes out after the first drive because he gets hurt again, too bad. You either put him in or you didn't put him in. So you have to make a decision. And I would say that, like, if given the opportunity to play or sit Keenan Allen with all the information we have, if he's active, I'm playing him.
I could not agree more.
All right.
Field. Look, you're... The fact is that going into last week's game, you know, look, fluky things happen, right? He lands on the hip, he leaves the game, right? I mean, that happened. Happened to Lamar Miller last week as well, right? You know, gets injured and leaves the game early. And so, welcome to fantasy football. It is what it is. So, but if he's active, and I get it, it's a tough matchup, but to me, I feel like Keenan Allen, based on volume, based on talent, based on Phillip Rivers, I just don't know if he's active. I think you start him and you sort of roll the dice. I'd rather go down starting Keenan Allen than benching Keenan Allen and lose because I started Robbie Anderson or
right,
something like that.
Right, because Keenan could still go like 7 for 68
right.
with a touchdown in a non-great game and correct. Still help you win your championship
exactly.
as opposed to somebody else.
I think
else.
This is one of those things where it's like, we have told you. So if you're like, well, you guys said he was playing, he was healthy. Now, we have told you what the risks are, but we've also said if he's on our roster, we're still starting.
That's right. The three of us are saying, well, we understand the risk and we're willing to accept the risk. We'd rather take the chance with Keenan Allen because it's all risky. Like, I'd rather take the chance with Keenan Allen, even in a tough matchup, even at less than 100% than you know, like a lesser name wide receiver.
If Allen is active, we don't feel very good about the chances or the prospects of Mike Williams
correct.
Being in your lineup. If he's not active, then obviously we feel much different. Mike Williams would be a top 20 wide receiver. And I think Tyrell Williams would be a flex consideration if Keenan Allen sits. But if he plays, which it seems like there's a shot, we feel as though Keenan's the only Chargers wide receiver you want to be playing. All right, this game,
agree.
Chargers are 4.5-point favorites. By the way, Phillip Rivers, not a starter in our rankings this week. That Ravens defense is legit.
It is. And again, like you've got two of the slowest pace of play teams in the NFL. So you're looking at two teams that will control the clock a lot. So there's going to be less possessions for each quarterback in there. It's one of the reasons why both are outside our top 10. The other thing is, by the way, the Ravens sort of recently been a little leaky on run defense. I think this is a big Melvin Gordon game, especially if the Chargers win. Again, they're 4.5-point favorites. I'm taking the Bolts to cover.
Bolt up! Me as well.
Go Chargers, go!
Daniel.
Go Chargers, go!
I'm taking the Ravens. I think the Chargers win this game, but I think the Ravens cover.
It's fine, yeah.
Go Chargers, go!
Chargers.
All right, Chargers, three of us. Patriots, they are 12.5-point favorites over the Buffalo Bills. For the Bills, Stefania, same thing as last week. Which running back, if any, will play for them? Sean McCoy,
here's
Chris
what
Ivory.
I don't like about this. Last week, Chris Ivory, full participant in practice all 3 days, then gets held out of the game. So you can't tell me that it was totally due to injury. I think it was
youth
an opportunity
movement.
To see their youth running backs. So now that we saw that happen, what do you do when you see LeSean McCoy and Chris Ivory both limited on Wednesday, upgraded to full practices on Thursday? McCoy hints at wanting to play. Suppose they do. I don't feel great that either one's necessarily 100% healthy, and I don't like what I saw last week in terms of confidence starting them.
Matthew, LeSean McCoy, let's say he's active on Sunday.
Okay.
You in at all or no?
As a flex. I'm a 28.
Okay.
I ranked him 28.
Like, I'm the same place there.
You know, like, he's the only guy that I would consider starting. Look, Josh Allen's mobility helps a little bit, so there's that. It's not a run defense that scares you. So they're 18th against the run over the last 4 weeks. Kind of slow, so I think volume would be there for LeSean McCoy in a divisional game. But again, like, how often is he going to score? And so, yeah, he's like kind of a, I'm a 28. He's a lower-end flex for me this week.
How about Josh Allen? That's probably the most intriguing Bills player here. He has been unbelievable. Over the past 4 weeks, he has been better than all five of the quarterbacks that were drafted highest in terms of ADP. Sean Watson, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Cam Newton. Would you play Josh Allen on Sunday?
I would. It depends on who else you have, but he's my number 13 quarterback this week. So, he's been terrific, right? So Josh Allen going against a Patriots team, by the way, that is bottom 10 in the NFL in terms of most rushing yards allowed to opposing quarterbacks. So, Thirsty Cow, keep me honest on that one, but I believe that is the correct stat. I believe that it's off the top of my head, but I believe that the Patriots have certainly struggled against rushing quarterbacks this year. And so Josh Allen, who, to your point, is the number one quarterback in fantasy the last 4 weeks. Like, literally no one has been better. It has not always been pretty. It's a lot from his legs. And obviously New England and Bill Belichick are well aware of that. But in a game in which you just said they're 12.5 point favorites, Josh Allen, even if it's junk time, even if it's running around, I do think he is a viable higher end QB too. So yeah, give me some Josh Allen as a streamer this week. If you lost Cam Newton, you're looking around. Thirsty Kyle gives me a thumbs up. Yes, I was correct. So Patriots, top 10 in the NFL in terms of most rushing yards allowed to opposing quarterbacks. It is an area where they struggle defensively.
Robert Foster for the Bills would be a flex play if you're feeling kind of risky. I mean, you understand that he is going to be an unbelievable, like, he has the upside to go for 20 points. He also has a possibility of going for one catch for 8 yards. This Bills offense has not been great through the air. Allen has completed exactly 50% of his passes over the past 4 weeks, and this Patriots defense always does a good job of mitigating opposing top wide receivers.
True, but over the last 5 games, he's catching over 70% of his targets. Bills completing under 50% when they target anyone else. So there's clearly some sort of connection there between Josh Allen and Robert Foster, who has over 90 receiving yards in 4 of the last 5. He is a big play waiting to happen. You only need one with him. So again, I'm his wide receiver 29. He's a lower end wide receiver 3 for me. But if you're sort of searching around, if you need somebody with upside, you need to sort of swing for the fences a little bit, Robert Foster is a viable boom bust wide receiver 3 type.
For the Patriots, nobody really of note on the injury report. Rob Gronkowski was added yesterday as limited Stefania. This has sort of been in line.
I think they continue to limit him on those full pad practice days because obviously that's when his back initially flared up, was one of those sessions. And we saw him even late in last week's game not looking great. I mean, he's looked better in the last few games, but clearly still not operating 100%.
Matthew, let's get into this backfield first and then the pass catchers. For the backfield, is there any Patriots running backs that you're starting with great confidence?
Oh, boy. You had to throw in that adjective. Great confidence.
Yep.
No, there is not any Patriot running back that I'm starting with great confidence. I have Sony Michel ranked highest. I am his running back 20. What you're banking on here is volume and that he gets into the end zone, right? Bills have allowed 10 different running back rushing touchdowns in the last 8 games. Michelle has gotten, like, basically, I think, 57% of carries for the running backs in the 3 games since Rex Burkhead came back. So he's been getting volume. I mean, there's nice volume there for Sony Michel. The problems are, as we talked about with Gus Edwards, he's not involved in the passing game. And he's been vultured by James Devlin multiple times. Like, that's a real thing. The Patriots like Devlin at the goal line. So Sony Michel has gotten some goal line work as well. He just hasn't converted the way Devlin has. So, I mean, like, I think there's a chance he touches the ball between 17 and 20 times in this game.
We got news, obviously, yesterday that Josh Gordon has been suspended again. Yeah. And obviously, we wish Josh well in his recovery. We'll see whether he actually ever plays football again. Neither here nor there for the moment. But these pass catchers, Matthew, you obviously feel good about Julian Edelman. You obviously feel good. Well, Gronk is what he is, right? You either have been playing him or you have moved on from Gronk.
You don't feel good about it, but given the tight end position, there's 5 guys you'd start ever. I am as tight end 6.
But for these other pass catchers, Chris Hogan.
Hogan.
Philip Dorsett.
Yeah.
Cordarrelle Patterson. Is there anybody that you consider fantasy viable this week amongst those?
No, I will tell you that we're not doing a show on Monday, but if we were, we'll be talking about one of them. We would be talking about one of them. One of them will step up, but we have some sort of a sample because there were Josh Gordon, I think, didn't play till week 4.
Week 4. So we don't really have a sample of what this offense looks like with Edelman.
Exactly.
But not Gordon.
Exactly. Because those first 3 games, when they didn't have Josh Gordon, Julian Edelman was suspended. So, you know, Philip Dorsett actually was the wide receiver that led the team in target share. Chris Hogan played over 90% of the snaps, but then Cordarrelle Patterson has over 50 yards in 2 of the last 3. So I think probably you see a little bit more Philip Dorsett. I think you maybe see some Cordarrelle Patterson. You'll see more Hogan, but the idea of knowing which one of those dart throws is going to land in the end zone, I think, is unlikely. The only Patriot that I have great confidence, to go back to your original question, who do I have great confidence in starting on Sunday? It's Julian Edelman, and that includes Tom Brady.
I'm with you there. I feel the same way. Patriots are 12.5 point favorites in this game. That's a big number. I think they cover, but one of those, like, You know, it's close in the fourth quarter. They're up 24-13. They kick a field goal, make it 27-13, and they cover the points.
I'm taking the Bills.
Okay.
I know.
I'm taking the Bills to cover. Like, I think, but I will tell you this. To your point, I think it goes one of two ways. I think either the Bills play them really, really tough. I think the Patriots win this game. But I think the Bills play them really, really tough. Or Tom Brady's just like, I'm done with this. I'm done, you know, screwing around. And it's like 40-5.
Right.
And they just blow them out.
Getting a safety in there. I like it, Matthew.
Yeah. 40-5. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I think the 2-point conversion return for a touchdown.
Oh, that could be. Like yeah, you're right.
What do you got?
Something like that. 40-6. I don't know. 2 field goals. Whatever. So I'm going to take the Bills to cover.
I'm going to take the Bills and Josh Allen. I think his legs get moving. He gets in the end zone.
Spina?
I'm going to take the Bills.
Okay.
Bill up.
Cowboys.
Remember. Just remember. Nobody circles the wagons.
Buffalo Bills.
Like the Buffalo Bills.
The Bucs go to Dallas to play the Cowboys. For the Bucs, you're starting Mike Evans. DeSean Jackson, though, Stefania, he might be back.
I know, just
sure
enough
really
to,
matters,
but it's enough to make the whole wide receiver crowd that much more crowded, right?
Dissuade you from
because
Chris
here's DeSean Jackson, who's missed 3 games with a thumb injury, and we essentially thought that it could be the end of his season. And then all of a sudden, he comes back to limited practice on Wednesday, full on. Even when I saw that, I was like, okay, but he's probably not going to do that much. Upgraded to full on Thursday, sure, making it look like he's going to play. And now, what does that do to Chris Godwin and Adam Humphries?
It doesn't help them, that's for sure. I wonder, Stefania, I'm just curious.
Even rest DeSean Jackson, honestly.
They may not.
Do you even play him?
Why would you? But it seems like that's certainly an option now.
Stefania, your father's here, obviously.
Yes,
every daughter wants to impress their father. Any embarrassment about just completely whiffing on DeSean Jackson earlier in this week in front of your father?
Did I?
Isn't that what you just said? You said you thought he was done for the year, and now he's,
you know. I'm saying the collective we thought that with him missing multiple.
She's not a cold. But to be very clear, I want to be very clear. Every opinion I have about injuries is based on what you tell me. I have no opinions of my own. When I'm asked an injury question, I go, hang on, let me check what Stefania says.
More definitive. That was like anybody thought. Yeah, whatever.
Just asking. I'm just asking. No. I was just asking. No.
Got it.
No, you feel like your dad loves you regardless.
Regardless.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Interesting.
All right, let's keep things going here with the
dad. Is that true? You love him regardless? He's waving. He's giving a thumbs up. Nice job, Stefania.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that was a Mutombo finger wag. I think that was a no, actually.
It might have been. I thought I was interpreting the Mutombo finger wag towards me.
Oh, okay.
That could be my daughter.
That could be what it was.
That's a different finger that he's using. He's through the glass. It's hard to sort of see. Fair. That's fair. Not the first father to use that finger on me either, by the way. You're in good company, Papa Bell.
Jameis Winston this week would be a starter in most weeks, but this Dallas defense, especially at home, is very good. I've got him at 10. I'm the highest amongst the rankers this week.
Yeah, why are you so confident in Jameis Winston after a bad game on the road against a tough Cowboys defense that is, top 11 against the pass last 4 weeks?
Because if you look at the quarterback options this week, they largely stink. There are a lot of quarterbacks that you have question marks about now, right?
Sure.
Like Kirk Cousins doesn't throw it anymore. Aaron Rodgers doesn't look like Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady hasn't been great. They play the Buffalo Bills. Some of it's just supply and demand, right? Like there are some Cam Newton's out for this week. Like there are just a lot of question marks. Phillip Rivers plays the Ravens. I think that's more of a reflection of other bad matchups and the fact that the Bucs continue to throw it more than anything else.
They've allowed the eighth fewest quarterback points this season. I think this is going to be a low volume game. I'm a little concerned here. I'm at 14. I have a real decision. So I'm in one of my finals, and this is my dynasty league. So I've and you only get 20 moves a year in this dynasty league. Like you can, and so I'm out of moves. So like I can't,
can't pick anybody up.
Not the first time I've heard that.
It's true. Very true. Most of my life, pretty much out of moves. And I really only have the one. Look.
That's like ask someone to prom with. Listen, I'm out of moves.
That's all I got. Exactly. I got no moves.
No promposal.
I got no moves. But anyway, so like I have Jameis Winston and Phillip Rivers. Those are my two dynasty quarterbacks in this league. And so I'm playing in the finals. Like you tell me I would play. Right now I have Rivers in.
I would play Jameis.
You'd play Jameis over Rivers.
Yeah.
Interesting. What would you do, Stefania? Put up a poll.
Because you know I'm not a Jameis fan. Probably, but against the Ravens defense, I don't know.
My thought was I feel like Rivers has the higher floor.
Rivers has the higher floor. I probably would end up going Rivers, but I'm biased.
For the Cowboys, they make it easy for us.
What would you do, Secret Squirrel?
I would do Jameis Winston.
James Smart man, Daniel.
Yeah. Put up a poll. I'm curious what people would do.
I'm having Kyle put one up now.
Okay, there you go.
Zeke curious. Elliott and Amari Cooper are starters this week for the Dallas Cowboys. Mike Clay also loves Dak Prescott. We are not as much in love with Dak Prescott. Matthew has him at 9. I have him at 12. Stefania has him at 12 as well. Dak, we know, has a great matchup. The Bucs are number 32 in terms of completion percentage allowed.
There's nowhere to go but up. That
Cowboys,
is the worst.
That's right. The Cowboys at home, both defensively and offensively, are much, much better than away from home.
Which is one of the reasons why, I mean, I have Dak as a top 10 play this week. I mean, you know, at home against a Buccaneers defense that's really struggling, to your point, if you look at sort of the home-road splits for Dak and the entire offense, to your point, they are much better at home at Jerry's World.
7.5-point favorites. I think the Cowboys win and cover.
Samesies.
Okay.
I'm taking the Buccaneers to cover. I think Dallas wins, but I don't think they beat them by more than a touchdown.
Daniel?
7.5 points.
It's a big one.
Cowboys at home.
All right, I'll take the Cowboys at home.
Packers at Jets for the Packers. Don't think we're going to see Randall Cobb on Sunday.
No,
Stefania.
Not practicing concussion-related injuries. So,
which could mean more of Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I think what we have probably learned by now, though, is there is just one Packers wide receiver you want to play. That's Davante Adams. You haven't been relying on Randall Cobb, let's be honest. But you have been relying upon Adams. You're starting him. But how about Aaron Rodgers?
So we don't think Cobb's playing.
That's what you just said.
Doesn't look good.
Wow.
Hasn't practiced yet.
Yeah, I know. But to your point, MVS, it feels like when Cobb has been out, they've moved MVS to the slot to play for Cobb, and he actually hasn't been. His earlier production came when Cobb was active.
Right. Geronimo Allison, that injury seemed to open the door initially to Marquez Valdez-Scantling. So, yeah. But I don't think you're relying on Cobb. I don't think you're going to be relying upon MVS in the fantasy championship. You're starting Davante Adams. You're starting Jamal Williams, who's a top 16 play for Matthew and I. He's number 17 for Stefania. And then Aaron Rodgers. He's in our top 10. Matthew, you're a little bit less confident on Aaron Rodgers. Anything specific there, or just he hasn't been great?
He hasn't been great. Past 4 weeks, he's 28th in touchdown percentage, right? I mean, like, he's fifth highest off-target percentage in the league this year. He just hasn't looked awesome. And so in a game in which I expect them to be up and I expect them to run very effectively, just to go back to Jamal Williams for a second, right? He's had 10 career games with 15 touches or more. Jamal Williams averaging 15.7 fantasy points per game in those games since week 10. Jets give up 156 rushing yards per game. That's fourth most in the NFL. If you sort of look at any time a running back has gotten 15 or more touches against the Jets, they average over 17 fantasy points per game. So I have Jamal Williams, you know, as a mid-tier, higher-end RB2. I just think you see a lot of running here. Look, I have Rodgers as a top 10 play, but you guys both have him as a top 5 play. Just a little nervous. This game is in New York. Rodgers has not played as well away from Lambeau as he does home.
For the Jets, Eli McGuire is a top 25 play for all of us. And Robbie Anderson, he's a wide receiver 3, basically, for the three of us. The Packers have some talent in the secondary, but Anderson has been red hot over the past 2 weeks with 11 catches on 18 targets for 172 yards and 2 touchdowns. It seems like him and Sam Darnold have a developing connection.
Especially with Quincy Enunwa has been out. He's going to be out again.
He's out again on Sunday, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, at least 7 targets in 3 straight, 5 of his past 6. He has 2 more catches than any of his teammates had targets against the Texans last week. And so you think about the Packers, who are 23rd against the pass over the last 4 weeks. It's not a secondary that scares you.
Right.
Anderson's really fast. I agree, especially if you're banking on the idea that you think the Packers come in here score points against the Jets. They're going to have to throw, and it seems like lately when he's throwing, Sam Darnold is throwing to Robbie Anderson. I am his wide receiver 22 this week.
There was some doubt early on in the week if Aaron Rodgers would play. So when the Pigskin Pick'em lines were set, the Jets were half-point favorites. As a result, I am taking the Green Bay Packers here. Any disagreement?
Pack up.
No disagreement.
It in.
To answer your right. question, I'm up, answering
pack
the
it
question.
In. Let me begin. Time to preview the Falcons and the Panthers this
but
game.
But before we do that, Field.
Quick break and come right back. Talk about that after.
Fantasy, you in the hole, 6-0-1-0.
And now for a quick message from the ZipRecruiter's smartest fan of the week.
This is Zach Kine, ZipRecruiter's smartest fan of the week, and we just wanted to say,
happy birthday, Matthew Berry. Aww. Happy birthday
and we also wanted to wish everyone in the 0610 a safe and happy holidays.
A Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Those little sweet voices are the cutest.
What I missed what they said after happy birthday because I was talking, which is typical of my life.
Oh, she just, the first daughter said happy birthday, Matthew Berry. The second daughter said happy birthday, Barry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you both, both of Zach's daughters. Yeah, my birthday is December 29th, so.
Everybody wish Matthew a happy birthday on December 29th. That's what, next Saturday, right?
Next Saturday.
Can't wait for that one. The Falcons play the Panthers in this game. The major injury to note is Julio Jones. Stefania has not practiced yet this week.
I know, and you see this hip and ribs, which to me just indicates that Julio continues to get banged up as he's playing. Now, Dan Quinn has said this is maintenance. It was planned, but also said he would need to practice on Friday for them to be confident that he would play. So, you know, it's a little bit less certain, it feels like to me, than it has been in the past, but the Falcons are very good about letting you know on Friday what the status is. It may not be by the end of our podcast. It might be if we see him out there. But if not, just check the practice reports. If Julio's out there, there's a good chance that he'll play.
Would you say his injury status is overrated, properly rated, or underrated?
Underrated, just like the player.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, underrated. It's hard to think that Julio Jones is underrated.
Well, because people like you always poo-pooing his skill set, poo-pooing his work ethic. You are. I don't know what's wrong with you.
Anyways, dated Julio Jones.
Do you know that Secret Squirrel used to work in intelligence? I mean, when you just think about the safety of our country, it's weird, right? He spent 6 years in intelligence defending our country, and you're just sort of like, well, that's wow, it's great that Secret Squirrel was in service, and that's where his nickname comes from, Secret Squirrel. But you're just like, then you hear him say stuff like Julio Jones is overrated, and then you're like, really, you were protecting our country, really?
Yep,
with that pea-sized brain of yours,
you bet. You know, speaking of pea-sized brain, I just want to give a shout out to Phil Yates, who just did a column, top 25 free agents. Okay. None of them are going to Detroit Lions. You guys don't need to read the column anymore. I just spoiled it. It's just totally worthless.
Okay. Thank you for that. ESPN Plus.
Oh, is it an ESPN Plus column?
ESPN Plus column.
Yeah. Part of the ESPN Plus
column. Field, you were going to say you have a leaning on this.
Did Le'Veon Bell make your top 25 free agents list?
I didn't make the list. I just pegged where they would best fit. Kevin Seifert previously made the list, and Le'Veon, yes, is right at the top.
Where did you peg him?
The New York Jets, which is the
very much the
speculative team.
Seems so not realistic that you don't have both DeMarcus Lawrence and Jadeveon Clowney going to Detroit.
Both would make sense to go to Detroit, actually. Yeah. My lean on Julio, by the way, is that he will play. That's my lean on Julio Jones as of right now. We'll find out by the end of the podcast. Perhaps.
Gamer.
You're starting
overrated.
Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, and Austin Hooper. Tevin Coleman, though, a little bit less confidence. Matthew, you've got him nearly as a non-top 30 play.
He made the hate list this week. Okay.
You're trying to will him to not get 4.4 points.
I hope so. I'm going to lose this board bet, and it's ridiculous because I wouldn't if Ito Smith had stayed healthy. What are you going to do? Alvin Kamara had a nice game last week against the Panthers, right? Prior to that, they'd allow the sixth fewest running back rushing yards per game, the fourth fewest running back yards per carry, and the fourth fewest running back points per game, right? And so Coleman, who's so big play dependent, right, especially last week when he had kind of the monster game, I don't know that that happens against the Carolina Panthers, especially on the road in Charlotte, where the Panthers have allowed the second over the season. They've allowed the second fewest rushes of 20-plus yards. They don't give up the big play. Luke Kuechly is nothing short of ridiculous. You know, we had Teddy Bruschi on the fantasy show on ESPN Plus yesterday, and Tevin Coleman came up, and he agreed with me in our crystal ball segment. We took the under on his projection of 12.2 points, both me and him, because Teddy just said that, you know, led by Luke Kuechly, he feels that defense is just, is pursuing runners really well, is moving sideline to sideline, and he doesn't think Tevin Coleman has a ton of room to run on Sunday. I took the under on 12.2. I think he's merely a RB3 this week, and I low-end it, don't want it that.
Now out with, or now do not have Shaq Thompson, one of their linebackers. That does impact their defense a little bit. He's on IR. Cam Newton's not on IR, but he's out for this game, which means you are starting Christian McCaffrey, and that's it amongst Panthers. DJ Moore outside your top 30 this week.
We just don't know what you're going to get out of this quarterback.
We've
never seen him play in an NFL game. We have no feel for. He could love DJ Moore. he could love Jarius Wright or what. I mean, like, we just, we, like, and so in a championship week, and so, I mean, that's something that goes into my rankings. I assume it does with you guys as well, where I sort of think about the situation, like, how confident am I starting this guy in week 16 with everything on the line? And so there's just so much unknown with what this offense will look like under Heinicke that I just don't think you can trust anyone other than Christian McCaffrey. In fact, I would feel more confident, Field, in playing the Atlanta Falcons defense. And that's part of the reasons why I was a little bit down on Tevin Coleman. They're not going to need as much offense to beat this Panthers team.
I agree on that. The Panthers are 3.5-point favorites. Again, this line was set before we had the information that Cam Newton was going to sit in this game. As a result of that, give me the Falcons. How about you?
Falcon up. Bird up.
Rise up.
Rise up.
Daniel.
I'm also going to take the Falcons and let Matthew Berry know that in the season-long board bet standings, he's very likely down about 5 board bets. So you've got a show and a half to be able to make up that.
Stefania, what do you got?
Falcons.
Falcons as well. The Bengals go to Cleveland. Intrastate battle between the two teams of Ohio. The Browns 6.5-point favorites for the Bengals, Stefania. We've got two players we care about, and both are banged up right now. Tyler Boyd and Joe Mixon.
I lost my show. Oh, there it is. Looking for my Cincinnati Cleveland sheet. Yeah, Joe Mixon, here's what's interesting, was on the injury report with a wrist issue, and then yesterday, thigh was added. Now, he's been limited in practice, so he's participated to some degree, but this new injury cropping up on Thursday just leaves some uncertainty. We got to see what he does on Friday. Marvin Lewis pretty traditionally wants to see the players practicing on Friday before, if they're non-practice, they're not going to go, which leads me to Tyler Boyd, who has not practiced at all this week, dealing with a sprained knee. And I'm starting to think that you may not have Tyler Boyd in this game.
Yeah, make other plans beyond Tyler Boyd. But Matthew, if Joe Mixon sits for any reason, would you play Giovanni Bernard in the championship matchup?
100%.
Okay, 100%.
If Joe Mixon is out, I mean, when you think about, like, if you look at when Giovanni Bernard has gotten 15 or so touches, okay, and you're thinking about, you know, going against a Browns run defense, it's, you know, 12th against the run. They've been better recently, but they're nothing that scares you. Like, especially when you think about Jeff Driscoll and no Tyler Boyd in this offense. Like, if Joe Mixon sits, Giovanni Bernard might touch the ball 20 times. So, yes, he would immediately be a top 20 running back for me.
And for the Browns, you're starting Nick Chubb and Jarvis Landry. Baker Mayfield, kind of interesting, Matthew. He's almost a top 10 play for you this week.
Boy, I really like Baker Mayfield. You think about what he did against these Bengals earlier in the season. Had 4 touchdown passes against them, threw for 258 yards. He was the 5th best quarterback in fantasy. This is back in week 12 when he faced Cincinnati. They allow a touchdown at the 9th highest rate on pass attempts, the Bengals do, right? They don't create a lot of pressure. They're bottom 5 in the NFL in terms of that statistic as well. They are, you know, in the bottom half of the NFL in terms of pass defense over the last 4 weeks, so... Yeah, give me some Bake Show. I have him as QB12 this week. I think he has
him up the last time they played. It'd be fun to see him do it again. You can imagine he wouldn't mind exacting just a tad of revenge over Hugh Jackson. If you want to call it a non-story, go for it. I tend to think there's a bit of not bad blood, but
there's something
taste
there
in the mouth. The Browns are 6.5-point favorites. The Browns are red hot right now. I'm taking the Browns.
I am too.
Yeah, me too.
Daniel.
Brown up.
I'm going to take the Browns as well.
Whoa, Keith Lipscomb, a clean sweep for the Browns, who are favored by 6.5. What is your reaction?
He doesn't know what to do with himself.
And the thing is, now the line is 8.5. So
wow.
That scares me even more. The last time they were favored by this many points, they lost to the Jaguars in a very uninspiring
performance. So Pigskin pick them again because it's the game that we're playing, and they set the lines, as Field has mentioned a couple times throughout the show. They set the lines very early. You know, and they don't move them. They don't adjust them because, you know, you're all sort of competing. So it has to sort of be the same line. So at 6.5, where would you go? We all took the Browns, giving 6.5. Where would you be?
I think I'd have to go with the Browns.
Look at you.
I can't remember the last time
Look
I said that.
You.
With confidence.
Yeah, no.
I feel good about that. They're trying to win their team. Well,
debatable.
Maybe not.
Yeah. The Colts are hosting the Giants this weekend. The game, as I said, in Indianapolis for the Giants. You are starting Saquon Barkley. Stefania, I would be surprised if teammate Odell Beckham played in this game.
I think this is going to be his third straight missed game with this quad injury. Remember when it started? It started when there was a mispractice on a Friday, and then all of a sudden a non-injury report to a questionable to a scratched out on Sunday. We haven't even heard from him since, in the sense that he has not been involved in practice. He was doing some work on the sideline yesterday, catching passes from the jugs machine, doing a little bit of light running, but nothing that approached practice levels. Odell Beckham's quote was, if my body will cooperate, then I'll be there on Sunday. But it's certainly, you haven't seen anything from him that would convince you that he's close.
So don't expect Odell Beckham Jr. You don't have a lot of confidence in any other Giants wide receiver for two straight games. Really, nobody has emerged. Evan Engram had 12 targets last week. He is probably the Giants pass catcher you have the most confidence in.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, with Beckham out, they moved Sterling Shepard outside. He hasn't been playing nearly as much slot last 2 weeks, and so far not so good. It's been disappointing.
For the Colts, no injuries of note, but worth noting that T.Y. Hilton, who this is the portion of the show where we tell you he's limited, we tell you he's really tough, he'll probably play on Sunday.
He actually is practicing today. Yes, he said his ankle was mad. That was the quote. His ankle was mad at him after last week. But you know what? Fantasy players were not mad because he gamed through that, toughed it out, and got you points.
85 receiving yards. He is practicing today, so we expect to see T.Y. Hilton on Sunday, and you pretty much like every Colt this weekend. Andrew Luck, Marlon Mack, T.Y. Hilton.
I've heard of all of them.
Eric Ebron needs to bounce back. He's been bad of late, had just one catch this past week, but Eric Ebron, top five tight end for all of us this week. Andrew Luck's in one of the better spots for quarterbacks this week. Some bad matchups, some injuries, obviously. I like Andrew Luck a lot if you're considering a daily fantasy lineup. It's a big, big line. 9.5 points. And the Giants coming off of what I would say pretty poor performance this past week. Fair to say that much? I think the Colts win and cover.
I do too. I'm taking the Colts. Colt up!
Colt up!
Colts.
Daniel.
I am down 2 games to Matthew and down 4 games to Mike Clay. And I feel like this could be a game. I mean, 9.5 is a big enough line that I'm going to take the Giants.
Okay. The Eagles host the Texans on Sunday. Massive game here. The Texans are playing for a top 2 seed. The Eagles are fighting for their life to make the NFC playoff picture. For the Texans, Deshaun Watson is a starter in all of our rankings, as is, believe it or not, DeAndre Hopkins. But a most notable injury here, Stefania, in Lamar Miller. He's been limited in practice all week. What do we know about that?
And we saw him get that ankle rolled on, kind of rolled in unusual direction. He was limping around a bit last week. And I think that it's still up in the air. You know, I wonder how they'll rate him going in, you know, whether they'll designate him as questionable. I kind of feel like this is a Lamar Miller questionable game.
I also got
the impression that Deontay Foreman would be up and active in this game. Not that he would be relevant for fantasy. It would be Alfred Blue who would get the majority of the carries. But I think there's a real uncertainty about Lamar Miller right now, and we're just going to have to wait till later.
You just said it, though. If he sits, I think it is Alfred Blue that you feel most comfortable if you're going to play a Texans running back. Deontay Foreman, just not quite there yet, at least in terms of that Achilles recovery.
But the reason I bring it up is because if the Texans are like, it'd be good to get him some run because he's not ready to get active in a game and Lamar Miller isn't going to help you because he's banged up. And the Texans, again, looking at the postseason picture, business decisions for teams. Why put Lamar Miller out there if there's a real threat of him making the ankle worse?
And it is because of that field that I think Deshaun Watson has a big game here. So he's my 5th-ranked quarterback. We all have him inside the top 10. I'm the highest of the 3 of him here. But Eagles have allowed 295 passing yards or more in 4 of their last 5 games. The only team that didn't do it against them, of course, is my Redskins in that Mark Sanchez
debacle.
Yeah, I mean, the Colt McCoy got injured and then Mark Sanchez came in. Teams have been throwing against the Eagles in such a big way. 108 pass attempts over the past 2 weeks. Since week 8, Watson 4th in touchdown percentage. Right? The only people better, Mahomes, Wilson, and Drew Brees. And so in a game in which you look at the Eagles, who are 13th against the run over the last 4 weeks, but 31st, like, how do you attack this team is, I think, you chuck it. And you say, like, hey, we got DeAndre Hopkins over here. We don't think you got anyone that can stop him.
It's a good point.
And
it's hard
so,
to stop him, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think Watson, who also get you some points with his legs, I think this is a big game at Philadelphia for him, especially given that I don't think their run game is going to be super effective.
Usual suspects for Philadelphia that you're starting. Alshon Jeffery, Zach Ertz. You think, potentially though, Matthew, that Nick Foles could be a quarterback streaming option. If let's say you have Phillip Rivers, Jameis Winston.
Need somebody for Cam Newton. You know, and you're looking around like Baker Mayfield is gone. Last 4 weeks, there has been no defense that has been worse against the pass than the Houston Texans. Sam Darnold was a top 5 fantasy quarterback last week against this same defense, right? They're giving up over 317 passing yards a game. And look at who they played in that stretch when they, over the last 4 weeks, right? They gave up 317 passing yards and they gave it up to the Jets, to the Colts, to the Browns, to the Titans. I mean, other than Andrew Luck, like to Darnold, Luck, Baker, and Mariota.
Right.
So, I mean, this is just a defense that for whatever reason is really struggling, especially in the red zone where opponents can complete over 70% of their passes this season. That's the third highest rate in the red zone. And then you think about Nick Foles, who's got a little, there's a little gunslinger to him. There's a little bit of gunslinger to him in a game in which we expect Houston to be able to score. So they might be down here. And so it's one of the reasons why you kind of like Alshon Jeffrey in this game. There seems to be a connection between him and Nick Foles. You look at what he's done over the past four games, last week against the Rams and then the playoffs. They remember, obviously, Jeffrey and Tate did not play in the first two games of the season when Foles was the starter again. Yeah, I think Nick Foles, I'm a QB 16. I think he's a viable QB 2 this week, and I think he's a very interesting play in daily.
Just a note on Alshon Jeffrey practicing today, as I was just looking up, because he's been gone.
Yeah,
they have a bug going around the locker room. It's affecting a lot of players. Their kicker, Jake Elliott, it's been out. Alshon's been out, but Alshon's back practicing today.
They've got a bug going around the locker room, and they have a shrine in the locker room built for Nick Foles. That's so much confidence. They believe it was Chris Long, who's awesome and funny great. He built a shrine, and I use shrine somewhat generously, right? But he's got a lot of appreciation, as do all the Eagles, for Nick Foles. A 0.5 point underdog. Are the Philadelphia
the
Eagles
are favorites.
Eagles are favorites, excuse me.
The Eagles are favored by half a point. I'm taking the Texans.
I think Philly magic works again this week. You get the Texans, I'll take the Eagles.
I say the Texans win this game.
I say the Eagles win this game. It's not a board bet.
Who cares? Come on. I'm down five. Give me something.
Make a board bet about something else. Stefania, go ahead.
I say Nick Foles is a top 15 fantasy quarterback this week.
I say Nick Foles is not a top 15 quarterback this week.
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
Stefania, what do you got here?
Give me the Texans.
All right, Daniel.
I'm going to take the Texans as well.
I might actually have Nick Foles ranked as top 15 quarterback. I don't think I do, but we'll find out shortly. On Monday Night Football, of course.
I was looking it up as we speak.
Right here on ESPN. The Broncos travel to Oakland to play the Raiders in what could be the final game in Oakland. I am a quarterback 19, so my apologies there.
Yep.
For the Broncos, you are starting Philip Lindsay. You hope he bounces back. It was not a great week last week, but they play the Raiders. This is a team that
he's,
you can do basically whatever you want offensively against.
And the Broncos are favored. If you look at what Lindsay has done when he's been favored, right? Well, yep. Or the past three wins for the Broncos, you know, averaging 7.9 yards per carry. He's got five touchdowns in those three games. 44th for 346 yards, so averaging over 100 rushing yards a game. You're starting Philip Lindsay, don't get cute.
Deshaun Hamilton, the Broncos wide receiver you are most interested in. He's got seven catches over each of the past 2 weeks. He's got 21 targets. He has a touchdown. Next up for us would still be Cortland Sutton, who has battled through a bit of an injury right now, but he's still out there, which
he's
is good news.
He's still out there, but he's limited. He's not... I think that's been part of the reason that we haven't seen him do as much as we had hoped.
I have Deshaun Hamilton at 28, so wide receiver 3. Worth noting, Oakland really struggles against the slot. They actually allow a touchdown on the second highest rate of slot targets this season.
And Mike highlighted that as a positive matchup in the favor of the wide receiver earlier on this week. For Oakland, we keep it quick here. You can start Jared Cook. I know he had a disappointing week last week, but Jared Cook remains the best player on this Oakland roster. John Gruden has perpetually called him the team's MVP. If you feel like playing a Raiders running back, we talked about Jalen Richard a bit on the show yesterday. He's got the more pass-catching upside. It's just hard to get too thrilled about a Raiders running back.
Yeah.
Pretty simple way to put it.
Correct.
Raiders, 2.5-point underdogs. I think the Broncos go in there and win this game. Not that there's anything to play for, really, in Denver, but... some good vibes, perhaps, maybe, don't think so, but possibly save the job of Vance Joseph. I got the Broncos.
And let's see, 2.5. Raiders getting 2.5.
Maybe the Broncos.
Could be the final game in Oakland, which is a little bit
tempting. I'm going to take the Raiders. The black hole, it's such a weird place. Raiders at home getting points. I'll take the Raiders to cover here.
Daniel?
I'm going to take the Broncos.
Okay, there you go. Next game is the Bears going to San Francisco to play the 49ers for the Bears. You feel good about Tariq Cohen. And besides that, guys, it's kind of murky. The only other player that I think is sort of of interest this week really is Mitch Trubisky. Matthew, you've got him all the way up at quarterback 6 this week. Mitchie?
Made the love list here. San Francisco, okay? Your 49ers here, Stefania.
Yeah, I'm
They've given up multiple touchdown passes in 11 out of 14 games this season. In games in which the Bears have scored at least 20 points, he's averaging over 23 fantasy points per game. He's got multiple touchdowns in 7 of those 10 games here. In terms of Vegas, if you look at the over-under, they're projected to have more than 20 points in this game. Bears rank fourth in time possession, so I think he's going to have the ball a lot and be able to get some points, not just running, but with his not just throwing, but with his legs as well. Remember, Niners have been the worst red zone defense in the NFL over the last 4 weeks. So, yeah, I have Mitch Trubisky as the sixth best quarterback this week. I have a lot of confidence in him. You have him at 11. I say Mitch Trubisky is a top eight fantasy quarterback this week.
This is so ridiculous. Come on.
Do 20 board bets? Yeah,
stop it.
I might. I'm down. Come on.
I'll pass on that
Stop
one.
Stop it. Come on. You have him at 11. I have him at six. Let's make a board bet here. Can be sporting
I'm
here,
not,
Field Yates.
Them just make a bunch of board. It's not worth it. The point of board bets is that they are a season-long tally. You should have done better in your previous ones. That's the
Wow. Wow, you have him at 11. So, but hang on. You're not standing up. You have him at 11. You have him as not a starter this week. I have him at six. That's a wide range. That's
okay,
big.
There have also been like hundreds of other times.
No, it
where
is so funny though because
five.
You're trying to make
I've,
multiple
I've agreed
bets
to every bet. Yes, of course I am. I'm completely copying to that.
And
but
Field
the point
is but, playing a smart strategy of like, why would it make I'm so not, many with you when I'm totally winning?
It's a little, it's a little take your ball and go home. Kind of, it's a
stop
little.
It is
a little bit.
It's the last Friday. Show,
you don't get to rule on betting etiquette here. What do you?
Did you
secret,
say etiquette?
Whatever. I don't know. I'm all flustered. Secret Squirrel, weigh in on this.
I just want to etiquette this segment. Can I just please keep going?
Am I right or wrong? Who's right here?
I think
should be accepting these bets. Make it sporting.
Well, here's the thing. Just because you do that, like Fields could come back and have a board bet that he decides that he wants to offer you that's more in his favor if he wants to do it. And then we'll just never end the show.
The thing is that like board bets are a full season long endeavor. If I have a massive lead going into week 17 and all of a sudden I lose five randomly and that's like then next thing you know, like I lose the season, that's stupid.
Well,
just be bad. I mean, just be good then.
Yeah. He should be good. He's the one that's been bad. Has put himself in the spot.
No, I mean that.
It's been a couple of bad lucks. But
okay, great.
But whatever. Sounds but good. Like, let's, why not have the bets? But we do. We
make
do board bets on that.
Make one with Stefania if you want.
This is not the competition. Matt, this is a. This is.
You are.
It's a little whiny.
It's
I got to be honest.
Weaselly of you.
No, it's very weaselly. It's kind of weaselly to make. Because I'm not choosing outrageous stuff. I'm going off of your ranks,
Matthew. But why didn't you like actually like take the time to like realize how far back you were for the past few weeks and ramp those up?
I don't know because we're busy doing other stuff.
Got it.
Been sick, but whatever. Who cares?
Okay.
We got 2 weeks left. We got 2 weeks left. Why not do it? Here's what I want to pull off. Thirsty Kyle, put up this poll. Is it Weasley a Field to not accept bets?
You can't set the poll.
Hold on.
Yes or no?
Bias.
More important than this.
Just yes or no?
More important than this, Daniel, if I could. Thank you.
ESPN Radio, breaking news.
Odell, officially out again on Sunday. Odell Beckham Jr. I bet you Odell Beckham Jr. will not be a top 50 wide receiver in week 16.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Huh. Wow.
Come on.
I make a board bet and you just ho-hum it and just no big deal.
You just announced he's out. He's not playing. I'm offering you a board bet that you could legitimately win.
Right. I could also legitimately lose it, Matthew. That's the
point. Just, I don't know. It's kind of wimpy.
Matt
I don't know. It's like it's a dumb thing. It's very
Matt
it's,
Breed is Stefania.
Very wimpy.
Play on Sunday, do you think, based off what we've seen so far in practice?
Based off what we've seen so far across the season and him putting up with this ankle issue and continuing to go out there, other than the week where they forced him to sit that one out, I feel like the likelihood of Matt Breida is more towards playing than not. Still limited, still not 100% with his ankle. Makes you wonder how much he's going to play. But even last week, he's the guy. He's still predominantly the guy when he's active, right?
When he's active, he certainly plays a lot. We've got him as a flex play this week. Against a Bears defense, it is quite ferocious, and you do fear going against it in general. So if you start Matt Breida, there's a bit of trepidation. The only player you feel really good about this week amongst these 49ers is George Kittle. And part of that is because, well, let's be honest, tight ends are tough to find. But more importantly, George Kittle has just been unbelievable this year for the 49ers, a real bright spot for them this season. The Bears are 3.5-point favorites. I think they actually win this game and cover. Bear down for me. How about you, Daniel Topp?
Bear down.
Okay, Matthew?
I will take the Bears as well.
Star Fanya.
You know, I picked Seattle because I thought they had a legitimate chance to win, and they were having a much better season than my 49ers, and the 49ers won. So I'm going to try that strategy again.
Little Bears. Reverse jinx one more time. The Rams go to Arizona. They're 14.5-point favorites, but perhaps the injury question of the week, Stefania, is Todd Gurley. The Rams keep saying they expect him to play. He has not practiced yet this week.
That's right. And I think even Todd Gurley has said he expects to play, that he's optimistic that he can. But not only is he not practiced yet, he hasn't run. So we really haven't tested his knee in any meaningful way in advance of the game. He has a ways to go to get there. We'll see what he does on Friday. But I would not just assume, just because everyone's optimistic, that he will definitely play. And I think this is very much going to come down to the wire in terms of Gurley's status. They have not let him do anything at all yet.
Matthew, if he plays, you play him. But if he doesn't play, what do you do with the Rams running backs? Do you play any of them? Do you think John Kelly gets a look? Do you think CJ Anderson plays 12 to 15 snaps? What do you do here?
He's over there.
Yeah, I would play John Kelly, and I would have him ranked inside my top 20. I think you'll see some Justin Davis as well. But John Kelly would be the guy. And listen, hopefully, I will say this about Coach McVay, is I think they're fairly open. Like, I think if Todd Gurley were out, I think we would know.
He's not. No. Make no mistake. He's not out. There's very much a chance.
I'm saying if he is out.
But they will. I think they will announce it before, you know, they'll make
before
it very clear.
Before the game. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So if he is ruled out an hour before the game or whatever, I think we will know. We will have some, you know, whether it's Adam Schefter or somebody, I think we'll have a decent sense of who will get the majority of touches. I think it'll be more of a committee than it would be with Todd Gurley, and you would lower expectations. But given the matchup being so good, the Cardinals are so brutal against the run here, I think Kelly, you know, it's a little bit of a dart throw, but I prefer Kelly to Davis or anyone else. Kelly is the best running back, just talent-wise. I'm just in a scenario where you don't have a lot of clarity, I just go with who I think's the best
running back. Let's put it this way. Todd Gurley acknowledged, if the game were yesterday, had there been a Thursday night game, if they were playing on Thursday, he would not have been able to play. So it's not just one of those where they're like, you know, being coy. It's not one of those where he's definitively out either. They're literally giving time as much of an opportunity to help him along as possible.
Matthew, though, you are down on Jared Goff, separate and apart from Todd Gurley. You've got him at 18. I feel like that's a very low number.
He hasn't been good on the road this year, right? He has as many touchdowns as interceptions when he's been playing away from Los Angeles, completing under 60% of his passes. Okay, he's averaging just 13.2 fantasy points per game when he's on the road this year. You think about Arizona, who's really good against the pass, and you can argue the reason they're really good against the pass is no one passes on them because they can run so easily. But the fact is that over the last 4 weeks, they're the 12th best pass defense in the NFL. Again, like, part of that is because it is so easy to run against them, but given Todd Gurley or whoever they have, they're so good running the ball. I don't think the Arizona offense is going to be able to do very much against the Rams defense. It's improved recently. So, you know, and the Arizona Cardinals, probably the worst offense in football. So I think the Rams are up big in this game. I don't think there's going to be a lot of volume needed for Jared Goff. That's why I have him as low as I do. You have him. You are confident, though. You have him as QB7. Stefania has him as QB6.
Yep, Arizona, second lowest interception rate in the league. Like, it's not a defense that scares you, as you
this
like
is
to
correct.
Say.
It is
I
not.
Say Jared Goff.
Oh, here we go.
Will be a top 12 quarterback in week 16.
I say Jared Goff will not be a top 12 quarterback in week 16.
Put it on the board.
Julio Jones spotted at practice, by the way, for the Atlanta Falcons. Good news
like that.
David Johnson is the only Cardinal that you're starting with some confidence. The Rams can't stop anybody against the run, it seems, so far this year. Larry Fitzgerald, a flex play. Heck, if you want to play Larry Fitzgerald just out of respect for the possibility this could be the last time you can ever play him, I'm okay with that. Rams are 14.5-point favorites. I think the Rams get on track here and win this game. Matthew, what do you got?
I'm going to take the Rams.
Daniel?
I'm going to take the Cardinals. This number is just too big.
Too big. Okay, Starfania, what do you say?
Oh, Rams.
All right, Steelers and Saints.
Ram up!
Steelers and Saints. Really good game in New Orleans on Sunday in terms of the starters for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown. But the injuries, Stefania, are equally notable. James Conner and Juju Smith-Schuster. What do we know about Conner and Juju?
James Conner is doubtful to play at this point. Look, I think that it's important to listen to what James Conner's words were. I think he's been, this is the classic description of high ankle sprain. He's like, you know, I can walk around. I'm not limping. I feel fine. But it's a whole different thing when you try and get out there and run and cut and do football maneuvers, and he just can't do it. So he's sort of at a point that he hasn't been able to progress beyond to allow him to play in a football game. And they have to be smart with this injury so that it doesn't threaten the health of his ankle across the course of his career. So not totally surprising to me. These are typically multi-week injuries. You know, another week or two and you start looking at him improving, but you're not going to see him this week. And Juju Smith-Schuster goes on the injury report as limited on Thursday with a groin issue. Jeremy Fowler had tweeted yesterday that after being limited, wide receiver James Washington says he's ready to start if necessary, but believes Smith-Schuster will be fine. Of course, that's coming from another player, so you don't know. Stay tuned, but keep an eye on that.
Okay, good news right there for potentially good news for Juju. Meanwhile, Pittsburgh likely to be without James Conner, Matthew there. Jalen Samuel probably catapults him to top 15 running back play, right?
I have him at 12 this week. So, you know, 40 touches the last 2 weeks. You know, obviously had, I believe, 172 total yards.
He was awesome
last week against the Patriots. So Jalen Samuels has been nothing short of terrific in the last 2 weeks. So I think, you know, just in terms of volume in that offense, it's going to be a high-scoring game. The Saints, and so, you know, involved in the passing game, didn't, you know, a lot of people thought, oh, Ridley will get some work last week against the Patriots, actually got less work.
Right.
So, I mean, Jalen Samuels proved he could be it. So just
he's
volume, he's the guy, and in a high scoring game, yeah, I have him as a top 12 guy. And I will say this, if you play on a site that allows Jalen Samuels to qualify at tight end, I mean, you know, I think Travis Kelce's the only tight end I would prefer over Jalen Samuels this week. Again, if you play in a league, that's going to affect a lot of championships.
Yeah, I agree.
Not to get on a soapbox about that whole thing, but anyway, because I know there are people that don't play at ESPN that listen to us, and so I'll just say that if you're wondering where I would rank Jalen Samuels as a tight end this week, he would be my second number two tight end.
I know the Saints have really struggled of late, but again, guys, remember, when they play at home, they play really well. We talked about this on Tuesday. Start your Saints, who are 6.5-point favorites. I got the Saints covering this game. They are so good at home.
They really are, and yet I still think Pittsburgh, you know, Pittsburgh shows up here. Okay. I don't think road bend's a thing. I think the Steelers cover. I don't think the Saints beat them by a touchdown.
Okay, the Chiefs. Oh, sorry, Stephania,
I'm giving it to the Saints.
Daniel, what do you got?
I'm going to take the Saints as well.
Okay, the Chiefs go to Seattle on Sunday night. Pleasant place to be this time.
By the way, real quickly of the day. That's what you should have done a board bet on, is how many real quicklies I've got. I kind of like Vance McDonald as a streamer in this one, by the way. Yeah.
Right.
Saints allow 294 passing yards, second most yards per attempt when they are at home. Because the Saints are so good at home, teams have to throw against them as well. He's had a touchdown or at least five targets in six of the last seven games, and so he's going to get some opportunity in this one.
Okay.
And so again, like, just the position is so brutal. He's my number nine tight end this week.
Chiefs at Seahawks. Chiefs are favored in this game. It's on Sunday night. You are starting Patrick Mahomes. You are starting Tyreek Hill. You're starting Travis Kelce. Stefania, do we expect to see either Spencer Ware or Sammy Watkins?
Well, sounds like, I don't think Sammy Watkins. Spencer, I could be surprised, but I don't think so. And I think given the amount of missed time for Sammy Watkins, hard to have any confidence there. Spencer Ware, limited in practice with the hamstring issue. Remember, he had two injuries, but the hamstring is the one Andy Reid has said has been the more problematic for him, as it often is for running backs. I think he has a shot to play. It'll make some determination after today. You don't feel great about it, though, because if he plays, he's likely not at 100%, just judging from the fact that he hasn't been a full go yet in practice.
Okay. We don't expect him to necessarily, well, we'll see on Spencer Ware, Matthew. If he plays, we have him ahead of Damian Williams. If he doesn't play, it makes things easier. You're playing Damian Williams.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Damian Williams would be a very attractive play, obviously, if Spencer Ware is out. If Spencer Ware is in, look, I have him as running back 21. You know, I have to assume if they're going to put him out there, especially given their postseason aspirations, they're not going to put him out there to risk further injury. I have to assume that, well, he may not be 100%.
But hamstrings are the one thing that are the hardest to predict. I mean, that's the thing. If he goes out there and he starts to feel it, they could just be, you know, come out. It's tough. It'd be a lot easier if they made this call ahead of time.
Yes. So anyway, I have him just outside my top 20. So I have him as a high-end flex. I think I currently have him as running back 21. I'll certainly be updating it after we see what happens at practice today. But, you know, it's a better run defense as well. Seattle has played better against the run more recently. what you're hanging your hat on here is that offense, that the chance that Spencer Ware gets into the end zone. Remember, when Spencer Ware has gotten at least 15 touches in a game, he's averaging 15.5 fantasy points per game. So he has been productive when he gets work.
You like basically all your Seahawks on Sunday night. The Chiefs have been a sieve defensively. Russell Wilson, a top 7 play for all of us. Chris Carson locked in as a top 20 running back play. Doug Baldwin, a top 20 wide receiver play. Tyler Lockett, a top 25 wide receiver play. We don't expect to see Rashad Penny on Sunday, so Chris Carson should be the man in this backfield.
He really should. In games in which Rashad Penny does not play or doesn't get a touch, so whether he was a you know a healthy scratch or just you know was injured, Chris Carson averages 25 touches a game and over 20 fantasy points per game. But I want to bring up for those that are sort of desperate or scrounging around in deeper leagues, DFS, Mike Davis, in those three games this year in which Rashad Penny did not get a touch, he averages over 12 touches a game and over 12 fantasy points per game field. So, I mean, he's involved in the passing game. Like, so there's like some double-digit upside there with Mike Davis. Like, I think he's a viable flex play this week, like assuming Rashad Penny is out.
Seahawks are sort of a trendy upset pick this week. Chiefs are 2.5-point favorites on the road. I think the Chiefs get it done. Stefania, how about you?
This is so tough because I think Seattle is the one place that could throw Patrick Mahomes for a loop because it gets so loud and the Seahawks bitter, bitter angry about losing to the 49ers. I'm going to take the Seahawks and I feel weird about it.
I do too.
Daniel?
I'm going to take the Chiefs.
You and me.
And Patrick Mahomes' new ketchup contract.
Hunt ketchup for the win. The Vikings travel to Detroit.
I hate going against Patrick Mahomes.
What do I care I got no skin in the game, but I've seen Seattle do this to so many. They just throw them off their game because of the noise. And like I said, Seattle really, really
should be
pissed
a good, good game
hours.
On Sunday night. Yeah.
It'll be great. But yeah, primetime game in Seattle. That crowd.
Man, loud. Yeah.
Not 12th man. Come on, official 12 man's in College Station, Texas, Giga Mags.
Okay.
They Vikings. Rent the name. They literally rent the name from College Station.
You tell us
but
every
it
time.
Is a great there. But there's no question playing at Seattle is really tough, especially in a primetime game when the Seahawks are good, which is what you have here on Sunday night. It is a raucous crowd that'll be there in Seattle.
For the Vikings, you're starting Dalvin Cook, Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs. We saw how great Dalvin Cook ran the football last week. I know you're disappointed by Adam Thielen of late. We still have him as a top 12 wide receiver play. He has not been great. We get it. But you got to trust your studs. Dance with the one who brought you. Kirk Cousins probably wasn't the one that brought you, but if for some reason he was, Matthew, you'll be looking elsewhere for a streaming option.
I'm nervous about Kirk Cousins in this game. You know, he made the hate list this week. Cousins did. You know, part of the concern here, right, is volume. Okay? I expect them to be up big. Remember last week, Cousins only attempted 22 passes, right? I mean, like, since week 5, Cousins has reached, his projection is 17.1, right? So I took the under for the hate list there, right? He's reached 17.7 points only twice, all season since week 5, once in the past 6 weeks. He played these Lions earlier the year, week 9, scored 6.9 fantasy points against them. And I think the Lions are worse now than they were then, right? Which means just when you think about how this game plays out, do we think the Lions suddenly light up the Vikings and Cousins has to throw a ton? No. I mean, they had their highest run percentage of the year last year with the change in offense coordinator.
Week, yep.
Right. And so I think you see another game like that. I think it's a heavy Dalvin Cook game. I think you'll see some Latavius Murray as well. I put him in sort of a low end flex territory as well. So that's my concern here against the Lions is that there's just not going to be enough volume for Kirk Cousins to get to 17 points. I mean, there's, what are they, 6.5-point favorites, something like that?
5.5-point favorites
on our on our game. So I think Cousins will play fine in this game. I just don't see him having a monster game here. 5.5-point favorites the Vikings are, and the over under is 43.5. So it's a low over under, and the Vikings are favored.
For the Lions, Kenny Galladay, the only player that's really on our radar.
Correct.
The hope is that you move Kenny Galladay away from Xavier Rhodes on the perimeter and into the slot. He had some success doing that previously. We saw last week
against to avoid Tre'Davious White.
Right. So we hope that is a pattern that will continue.
Also burned White a little bit.
For the Lions.
Yeah.
Vikings, 5.5-point favorites. I got the Vikings. Vike up. Skull.
Skull indeed. Viking up.
Daniel. Vikings.
Sorry, Daniel. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Vikings, too.
Okay.
Wait, what?
He just slid that one in there as
if
he couldn't hear.
Forget all that love for your Lions and loyalty, blah, blah, blah. One more game here.
It's the battle of
no pride. Not one pride. Yeah, no pride.
No pride. No pride for Daniel.
Come on now. I'm wearing a Lions shirt today. I mean, that's
zero pride.
I mean, we're talking about making like an informed decision. It's just the Lions are down to scraps right now on offense.
That's very true.
None pride.
The Dolphins host the Jaguars on Sunday. Leonard Fournette Stefania has been limited this week because of a foot issue now?
Well, depends, but you know.
Technically,
according to the reports. I mean, we talked about this on the podcast earlier in the week. There seems to be some strife in Jacksonville with the situation around Leonard Fournette. Legitimately injured hamstring that kept him out of multiple games. I don't think there was any question about that. Has had foot injuries in the past. But when you were looking at what was the reason for his limited usage last week, you seem to be getting different answers. Leonard Fournette saying it was a plan to scheme him out of a lot of catches or carries in the second half. Coaching staff saying, well, he's dealing with a foot injury. So it's hard to know what exactly is carrying the weight here in terms of his limitation. But to me, it sounds like I don't get the hint that he's not going to play, but I really worry about his utilization in this game.
Yeah, I'm with you as well. I still have him as a top 15 play. We all do. He's the only Jaguar you have any
confidence in. He's got the most potential.
He has the most potential. He hasn't. You know, there are two teams this year that have not rushed for 100 yards with one player in a game this season. The Jaguars and the Eagles. For a team that built its roster around playing great defense and running the football, that's embarrassing for the Jags.
That's a crazy, crazy stat. I have Fournette as running back for 17.
We have him as a top 20 play, but not a top 10 play this week. Right. We hope he proves us wrong.
Right.
Too little, too late reality, though. For the Dolphins, sorry, guys, you're not starting anybody. But potentially, Kalen Ballage.
Are you ready for a Ballage barrage?
Are you guys going to celebrate
again?
At the Bellagio afterwards?
That's well done. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. Yeah. I may steal that, FYI.
Okay.
you just think about it. That's right. I'm ready for the penthouse suite at the Bellagio. Look, since I'm definitely stealing that, FYI. Frank Gore, prior to getting hurt in week 15.
Do you say FYI in daily conversation?
No, I do. I do say FYI.
Oh, we bring it back. That's a good question.
No, but people do use FYI. They don't say for your information.
I'll give you FYI. Yeah, but people absolutely. Like the Ballage barrage.
I do indeed like that. You think about Frank Gore, who prior to getting hurt in week 15, averaged over 14 touches a game for his previous five games. And so you can run on the Jaguars. They're 25th against the run field over the last 4 weeks. I mean, they have struggled against the run. Teams have been able to, you know, they seem to be sort of packing it in. And so Ballage, who has big play potential, who's involved in the passing game, and who, when asked directly about Kenyon Drake's usage, was the fact that when Ballage came in, I want to say he got something like 12 touches to just four for Kenyon Drake after Frank Gore left the game. Like, Drake had one carry and I think three receptions. Keep me honest, Thirsty Kyle, if I've got that right or not. So I believe it was 12-4 touch differential between Ballage and Kenyon Drake when they came in. Gates was asked about that. Was it injury related? And he said no. Like, he just, and this is one of the reasons I was down on Kenyon Drake in the preseason, but they believe Kenyon Drake is a satellite back, a pass catcher, a big play guy, but not somebody that can go between the tackles in a significant way, not somebody that's going to get 20 touches a game. So I think Kalen Ballage takes over Frank Gore's role, which is basically almost 15 touches, averaging 14.6 the previous 5 weeks. So you're telling me he's going to get 15 touches against a Jaguars defense that's 25th against the run over the last 4 weeks? Oh, yeah. I say Kalen Ballage is a top 20 play this week. You have him at 31.
You got him at 24.
And I'm going even higher to try to sucker you into this bet.
Kalen Ballage is not a top 20 play this week.
I say Kalen Ballage is a top 20 play this week.
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
So weak.
Great show there.
What's so weak?
I've got the Dolphins to win this game. 4.5-point favorites. Dolphins win. Daniel, who do you got?
Is there a tie option?
Yes.
I'm going to take the Jaguars.
Yeah. So, go ahead, Stefania.
Dolphins.
Matthew?
So Thirsty Kyle lets me know that I'm correct. It was a 13-4 touched count last week, Kalen Ballage.
Yeah, but he also shows where you're wrong about the quarterbacks.
No, I'm right.
No, didn't you say? Did you say Rivers or Winston?
And then we'll talk about it in a second.
Yeah. So,
I'm taking the Dolphins.
Fins up. Fins to the left. Fins to the right. Fins all around.
Did you take Rivers or Winston?
I took Rivers.
I took Winston.
You and I took Rivers.
Oh, okay.
I believe Secret Squirrel and Field took Winston. The crowd has spoken. 73% say they would start Philip Rivers.
Oh, I'm sorry. My humble apologies.
I am, as everyone knows.
You made a smart decision.
I'm a man of the people. I listen to the will of the crowd, the wisdom of the crowd. So I will start Philip Rivers this week in my championship game. Thank you, America.
There you have it. We are back next Thursday.
What was the results of a field being a weasel? What was the result of that poll? Do we have that?
Didn't post that one.
Didn't post that one. You're a weasel too, Thirsty Kyle. Weasley Kyle.
There wasn't enough time to get a decent response.
Whatever. We'd have gotten, who cares?
Sample size is a massive issue when you rush this.
All about the sample
matters.
Size.
We are back on Thursday.
Do me a favor. Tweet at me and Field Yates. You just say, like, Field, yeah, you're a weasel, or no, Matthew, you're a weasel. Absolutely.
We are back on Thursday. At that time, we'll be previewing Week 17. Enjoy some great time off for the holidays.
Yes.
You celebrate Christmas. Enjoy your day on Tuesday. In the meantime, Fantasy Football Now, still coming to you on Sunday morning.
Correct.
10 to 1 Eastern time. Stefania will have her injury blog. And, of course, Matthew's Love Hate is already up, plus Fantasy Show.
Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus streaming. I just want to give a quick shout out here. You know, a lot of people remember a couple years ago, Michael Galkin, great writer for the San Diego Union Tribune. Now he's with the Las Vegas Review Journal covering the Raiders as well.
Yeah.
He has started this thing called Champion Causes. You can follow them on Twitter or find them on Facebook at Champion Causes. I've written about it and kind of helped amplify it the last couple of years as well. If you remember last year, so many people that won their fantasy championship donated money to charities of the players that helped them win. Over $50,000 was raised for the Shriners Hospital for Children in the name of Todd Gurley. That's where he represents. And so a charity that he represents. So anyway, follow at Champion Causes on Twitter, because Michael will be posting on Sunday a list of all the charities of Patrick Mahomes and Todd Gurley and Andrew Luck and all the
fantasy players know how much you appreciate them by donating to a charity that's important to them.
And you know, everyone can donate different amounts. It's just a small little thing. But if a player did help you bring home the hardware, maybe consider contributing to a charity that he represents as a way to say thank you and do some good in this world. So follow at Champion Causes to get the full list of where players are directing money.
Incredibly worthwhile cause, and good luck to all of you in your championships this weekend.
Peace out.
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle, in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me, because I don't think you could.
Jail bait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel, Daniel Dodd.
Make happen.
Media.